Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you looking for a podcast about pro football that doesn't put you to sleep with an avalanche of analytics or insult your fandom with brainless hot takes? Well, hi, I'm Dan Hanzus.
And I'm Mark Sessler.
Oh, hi, Mark. And we're the hosts of Heed the Call, the NFL podcast you've been waiting your whole life for.
Heed the Call covers every game, every storyline, everything that matters, and we do it all with a touch of mirth.
Football is fun. Why shouldn't your football podcast be the same?
Follow and listen to Heed the Call NFL podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
It was actually less than 48 hours ago. I'm going to do my math. A little bit less than 48 hours ago, the New York Jets won a football game. And it took them less than 48 hours to inform many of their season ticket holders, we're going to increase your prices. I have confirmed a few others that are seeing price increases.
You think that was intentional? You think they waited for a win in order to do that?
Yes.
I mean, honest.
Yes.
That is devious.
You think it was a coincidence?
I mean, I don't believe in coincidences, so no. I was asking kind of rhetorically, but
yes, I believe that they would have pushed this off further. Eventually, they're going to bill you because the Jets are one of these teams that like to tell you about next year's prices in the middle of a season. Mm-hmm. We're not even at the halfway point. They like to tell you that. So they were going to do it soon. But yeah, I think that the win made it in their mind easier to inform many of their customers, we're going to increase your prices. Our last caller from our previous segment said he took an increase. NYJ Matt, who's a big Jet fan, big season ticket holder, said it's an 11% increase for him. So people are getting increases. And you know what I hate? So NYJ Matt tweets that out. Hey, I got an 11% increase. And half the people's response is, you're an idiot. Just get rid of the tickets.
Right, but you're not going to get rid of the tickets because you love this game and you love the team. And
exactly.
You want to see them play.
Exactly.
And it's easier to get season tickets than to have to go to try to do it on a daily or a weekly week off basis.
Absolutely. Especially when you know where you want to sit.
Yes. Like
you have your seats at your home. You got basically people in your section. They're like family members. You don't want to give them up. Of course, that's an option for everybody. No one's holding a gun to your head. You don't have to be a season ticket holder. Mm-hmm. It's more of an indictment of this owner, who decided in the midst of another horrendous season, I'm going to raise prices. And it's funny because so the other day, Woody Johnson was at the owners meetings, and that's where we got those comments about Justin Fields, where he said he's got a terrible QB rating, he sucks basically.
Mm-hmm.
Diana Russini ran into him and actually was able to ask him a few questions for her article in The Athletic. In fact, Diana Russini says, are you a good owner? That's what she asks Woody Johnson. Would you like to hear what Woody's response was?
Sure.
First of all, what do you think his response was?
I think he's going to facetiously say no.
Facetiously say no?
Yes.
Now, like, Sean doesn't know what facetious means. Can you explain that?
It's like joking. He's laughing at himself. So, no, I'm not.
He's going to jokingly say no.
Yes.
All right. Well, I'm going to tell you in a second. But first, it's WFAN, WFAN-FM, WFAN-FM, HD1 New York, and Odyssey Sports Station. Quote, well, obviously, I'm not a good owner in terms of winning, he said.
Ha, ha, ha. Chuckle not included.
Well, you think that counts as facetious?
I don't know.
I mean, that's pretty true.
I wish we had audio of this.
I know. That's why I always tell Sean and Tommy, I'm like, man, we got to find the audio because you need to hear an inflection in voice. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, Diana did this reporting for The Athletic.
Because it could be defiant. Right, if he said, of course I don't have a winning, if I'm a bad owner if it comes down to winning record. Or he could say, I mean, of course I don't. I mean, if it comes down to winning record, I'm not. There's two different ways to say it. You, in reading it, you don't get it.
Here's what he goes on to say. Well, obviously, not a good owner in terms of winning. I think the players can relate to me in some ways. Even though I don't have their background, I have a certain amount of empathy. I think that they can feel. I can't be them. I don't have their background. I didn't grow up in their neighborhood. There's no way I can completely understand what they went through and their life. But I think they know that I'm an understanding person. I'm willing to listen to anybody to tell me anything they want to tell me. I'm willing to listen to their ideas, too.
That's from Woody Johnson.
Hmm.
Your thoughts?
By the way, I believe that. Having talked to Woody a couple of times when we'd go over to practice. We didn't go over this year, but that's how he is.
That does not have anything to do, though, in my opinion, with being a good owner or not.
No, absolutely not. It's not even about that.
Right.
But how he described himself, that's how he is.
I believe that.
So he's not a bad person.
Well, the question was, or do we think he's a bad person or not?
Well, no, but that's what he answered.
Yeah.
His answer was about himself, not about his ownership ability.
And I hate to say this about price increases. It's the same thing with any franchise that raises them. How many people are going to walk away versus how many people are going to retain at a higher price?
And by the way, that's the calculus.
That's the calculus. And if the answer is they lost a few hundred people, but the increase more than makes up for that, then Woody Johnson made a good business decision, as dumb as it sounds on Sports Talk Radio.
Right, and that's really what his job or his organization's job is to make the right business decision. And eventually, if the team gets good, you're going to sell those. The attrition from losing season ticket holders is going to get replaced or turned over because people are going to want to buy tickets.
Right.
And whatever the price is, they're going to pay for it, even though it's an increase from what it was a year ago or 2 years ago or 3 years ago.
I think the reason that I can speak for myself on this, because I can't speak for everybody else, the reason I'm always afraid to give up tickets, and I put the Mets in a different corner because it's in my blood. My dad had season tickets.
Right.
I'll never give it up. That doesn't matter. But with the other teams is when teams start to get good, all of a sudden, certain seats are just not available. Mm. I mean, the team gets good, they become a hotter ticket. So if you're a Jet season ticket holder and you've got this seat that means so much to you because you've had it for a long time, it's in your family, and you say, screw it, I'm giving it up, I'm going to go on the secondary market, that's it, that ticket is now gone. And if the Jets somehow, some way, miraculously hit on a rookie quarterback,
right,
and that rookie quarterback becomes Jaden Daniels, and all of a sudden the Jets are really good, that ticket that you love so much but you gave up because the owner's a pig, that's gone.
And I think that
scares people. And it would scare me. So I get that. I get it's not as easy as, well, they suck, just get rid of the tickets. Like, it's in your blood.
But what just is so stupid and what is so piggish by the Jets in this is that ticket increase should happen when the Jaden Daniels.
Of course.
Comes. Because what it's going to go up to at that point is going to be, you know, we're going to be looking to double this at some point.
No, you're right.
How much can people keep dipping into their pot? It's ridiculous.
I don't know who's going to win the mayoral election next week, though I do have an idea. And this would not affect the Jets and Giants because they don't play in New York City, let alone New York.
Mm-hmm.
But we need legislation. You are banned from raising prices when you're a non-playoff team. Simple as that. We're going to even name it after James Dolan. It's the Dolan rule. Because he does it, to his credit. He's done it consistently with the Rangers and the Knicks.
Good for him.
Good for him. He may not be perfect.
And good for his fan bases.
You're damn right. Damn right. Let's get to your calls. 888-808-1019. Let's go to David in Westfield. What's up, David?
Hey, what's up, guys? I'm trying to think through the intentional walk dilemma.
Yeah.
So what if you banned the Ephus pitch, like when you had to throw the four balls? So you ban the Ephus pitch. So what you're doing is you're saying the pitcher has to, you know, you have to pitch around the batter. So then I think, I mean, it's not perfect, but then you run the risk of a fastball leaking back over the plate, or if the pitcher is trying to throw junk, you run the risk of a passed ball, which is an issue when the runner's on base, which is generally one of the situations where you're going to be walking and dying.
Yep.
I don't know, maybe if you're throwing fastballs away, the batter crowds the plate and has a little bit of extension on it. What do you think?
I think that in theory it makes a lot of sense because I know as a fan, when I'm screaming, walk Aaron Judge. I don't know if you guys remember, but before the Subway Series, I think I said it to Mendoza. I said, don't face Aaron Judge. I was very opinionated that you should not face him. Whenever the Mets would face Aaron Judge and it was a walk-around situation, I would still be upset because I'm like, dude, don't make a mistake.
Right.
You could bounce one. You could leave one up. I think the problem you run into, there's an easy workaround to, you're not allowed to wave the four fingers or you're not allowed old school to stand up and reach your arm out to show an intentional walk is you're still going to have guys just coached into throw a fastball up and away.
Yeah.
And the the risk of a mistake is going to be limited, and it's also just going to become a boring part of baseball.
It is.
Like it used to be.
And you also wear out people's arms.
Right.
Not that those four pitches necessarily matter, but they do matter.
Right.
Especially if guys happen to be on pinch counts, which happens every now and then.
Yeah, you're right.
So there's no easy solution for this.
And it doesn't actually solve the problem.
No.
So we're creating ways that are going to negatively affect other aspects of the game.
Right.
And you're not solving the thing you want, which is to somehow ban the intentional walk. Tom is in Yonkers, New York. What's up, Tom?
Hey, yo.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Football is fun. Why shouldn't your football podcast be the same?
Follow and listen to Heed the Call NFL podcast with Dan Hanzus and Mark Sessler wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, so I'm a 35-year-old Mets fan who was watching the World Series on and off last night for like the first 9 innings, and then when the whole extra innings, and then I watched the whole extra innings. Like you, Evan, I also watched the Tigers Mariners extra inning game and wanted the Blue Jays to win.
Right.
But I also wanted this game to go like 20 innings. Just because we don't get these long games anymore with the Manfred runner, and this was like, say, the Mets playing in the 18-inning playoff game,
yep.
I'd be freaking out. I'd be stressing out. I wouldn't want that.
Oh,
with two teams I'm not a fan of, I'm just chilling, watching baseball until 3 a.m. in bed. Yeah, I just wanted to share that.
You're right, though, because we don't get this in the regular season anymore.
Yeah.
It is more special.
No, it's true.
Like, because we used to get 18-inning games in the regular season, and people would easily shut it off, especially if it's a weeknight.
You'd also get frustrated by the regular season 18-inning games.
Oh, yeah.
It's just too long. Just end already.
It would be too long, but also guys would swing for the fences, so yeah. It would never end. You'd waste your bullpen, and it would affect the next day.
Right.
And at some point, you're like, oh, my God, this is going to negatively affect tomorrow, the day after that. But they were unique. Like that Met Cardinal game that went 20 innings back in whatever year it was, 2011, 2010. Like, those are badass. Nowadays, it's over after 10 or 11. So it is unique now to see a game go that long.
Mm-hmm.
And I agree with that last caller. I loved it. It was fun. But the problem is you don't know going in. So when Tiki Barber made the decision to go to sleep, he didn't know the game was going to go 18 innings. And the thing I don't believe you about, what inning did you go to sleep again?
I don't know, seventh?
Seventh,
something like that.
I come from the future, and I say, Tiki, this game's going 18 innings. Aren't you?
No,
you
I'm still going to bed.
Are you?
Yeah, 100%.
It might have made me go to bed 2 innings earlier than I did.
No doubt.
It actually worked the opposite.
I was tired. But the football game was just, it's like, all right, this thing is, I see where it's heading. I stopped. I didn't care. And then as long as we won, all of us except for you, our wager, at the end of the show.
Oh, you're talking about our picks?
Our picks.
Oh, yeah, they all won. I lost. Yes, that's
and,
true.
And then, like, I don't love baseball enough to stay. Not like our last caller, he loves just sitting and watching the baseball
game. Yeah,
he
was rooting for more, he said.
He's like, more. I'm just like, somebody hit a home run. Like, seriously, somebody break open this game. I just want it to be over.
I understand. Let's go to Raphael in West Orange, New Jersey. What's up, Raphael?
Hey, Robert and Tiki, how you guys doing? I was really impressed by the defense both teams played.
Yeah.
You know, look at the last World Series last year. Routine plays were messed up. These guys were doing things that are not routine plays, throwing guys out of third base, going behind first base and throwing the guy out of third.
Right.
Those are some incredible plays that kept the games really entertaining. And, you know, it's a one-run game. It was tied, then it was tied. But that was an incredible game to watch.
Well, I mean, it just shows you that the two best teams got here. It wasn't flukish for the Blue Jays, certainly not for the Dodgers, because they're just the best team on paper, period. They got healthy at the right time. But you have the best functioning and operating teams, they're in the World Series. It happens sometimes.
You know, we're very selective. because Tommy Edman missed a easy ground ball that turned into an error.
Yeah, but they got out of it.
Oh, I'm just
and he was phenomenal in multiple other situations.
I understand. I'm just saying, if this was a Yankee game, we'd spend 15 minutes on Tommy Edman making an error and Bo Bichette getting thrown out because he thinks it's a walk.
But here's the thing. When Tommy Edman fields Clayton Kershaw's ground ball, and that's a tricky play, because what do? Do you switch it to your hand and shove it, or do you just glove it to Freddie Freeman at first base? It was perfectly executed.
I have to admit, when Kershaw came in with the bases loaded, I was very conflicted, and I'm going to tell you why. I don't love Clayton Kershaw. Like, I have great respect for him. He's one of the great pitchers of all time. Mm-hmm. I don't love him. I don't hate him. I just respect him. But when the Philadelphia Phillies dropped a deuce on him in the divisional series, you guys remember this game? It was the one game the Dodgers lost in the postseason prior to the World Series.
Yeah, the deuce game.
The deuce game. That's what I call it, because the Phillies just assaulted him. I felt bad. By the end of it, I was like, this is unfair. This is abuse. This is elder abuse. Get him out of the game.
Right.
So when Kershaw came in, bases loaded, two outs, the World Series, a part of me was like, it's going to be like ugly if he gives up a grand slam and a triple, and this is how this great man's career is going to end?
Yeah.
Like, I was kind of feeling sad for him, but then after watching, you know, five more innings of scoreless baseball, I regret that I had that emotion. Mm. I wish there was another deuce. I wish that Nathan Lucas hit a grand slam home run off of him. So I apologize for having a sensitivity. I shouldn't have had it. I'm too nice of a guy. Let's go to Joe on Long Island. Hey, Joe.
Hey, okay, Joe. So.
Yes.
You guys are way off on the Jets, Woody Johnson making a good business decision, because business is more than just dollars and cents, okay? It's not just about how much money you make on your bottom line. It's how happy is your client base.
Right.
And their clients are fans. If you don't, so a good business decision is not raising prices the week after a win. A good business decision is winning football games. The Dolan rule is a good business decision.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? That's the difference between Hal Steinbrenner and his father, is that George spent the money on the team, and Hal was always pretty concerned with, are we staying under the luxury?
But what I'm saying about Woody isn't that I like him raising ticket prices. Obviously, it's apparent. I dislike it. I'm saying if they end up making more money off of it, in his mind, that was a good business decision. We made more money. Mm-hmm. And in his mind, if they eventually win games, which God willing they'll do someday, they'll get all the customers back anyway.
Joe, it's a callous business decision, but it is, from his standpoint, a good one. Because he's not. Go ahead.
Exactly. Exactly. It's a callous business decision, which works if you are the CEO of Macy's. He's the CEO of a football team, which really, and I get it. You're not a fan of it either. I understand.
Right.
But the fans are the ones responsible for the.
The fact that the people are there anyways. 100%.
But the problem is,
the customer is the fan.
Here's the problem, Joe. And we don't even fully disagree. It's more what's going to happen. And here's what's going to happen. If the Jets ever find the quarterback and the Jets ever start winning games, they're going to get all their customers.
Right.
All the people who aren't season ticket holders are buying tickets. Guess what? They're going to buy tickets. It's as simple as that. So, yes, right now as they're losing, you're going to make your customers unhappy. Even if they resubscribe, they're pissed off, they hate you. It still comes down to the same bottom line, which is when you win, you'll have a packed stadium and season tickets will be impossible to get. And if you lose, customers may make business decisions of their own where they say it's not worth having them.
Right.
So making a callous business decision, Teak, as you worded it, still in the short term may benefit if they don't lose as many customers as the income they're bringing in on raised prices.
And I think that's the bet, is that they're trending towards having a better team. That's in their minds. They haven't obviously shown that on the field yet, but they're trending to having a better team. So the price increase won't affect them as the seasons go on forward. Not this season, going forward.
Just remember this, and I said this about the Mets, and it turned out to be very correct in terms of how well they drew this season. Attendance follows success.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't predate it. So when the Mets weren't drawing in 2024 and we're all like, ooh,
and they were good.
They were very good. I kept telling you, yeah, it sucks. I wish more people were there, but it'll happen next year. It's what always happens. It's why the 97 Yankees outdrew the 96 Yankees. So the Jets haven't had any success. Mm. So we're still years away from seeing that increase in terms of people wanting to go to games, because remember, it will follow the success. Well, they haven't had success.
Right. Right.
So they're not getting more people in the building next year. They got to win next year.
Right.
And then the year after that, there'll be more people in the building. So we're still going to be, Woody is going to be waiting a while.
Yeah, but I hope he doesn't do it again.
Raise prices?
Yes.
Dude, he's raised prices every year.
I know.
It's so unbelievable.
So how can you do it again?
He continues to do it. Now, he's not doing it on every section,
mm-hmm.
but he's doing it on a lot of sections, which is unbelievable. Jose's in Brentwood. What's up, Jose?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Doing well.
So I'm a low percentage of watching the whole game. Of course, you know,
yeah.
I'm enjoying all the eras the Dodgers are doing, mm-hmm. and I want the Blue Jays to lose. And it made me think of my team, and I'm nervous for next year because I know Cashman pretty much has one shot, and I feel like he's going to go big or go home this offspring with all these big moves because he's seeing the success of the Dodgers. And for his mind, he's like, only got one more year. Why not go big or go home? So I just wanted your take on that.
Well, I'm going to tell you something, Jose, and I'm glad you brought this up because I need to tell Tiki, Sean, and Tommy something very, very important. I have not told them this, but they have to know this right now on Tuesday, October 28th. We have been very quiet about the baseball offseason. We haven't mm-hmm. said much. And the reason we haven't said much is baseball season's still going on.
Right.
There's no offseason.
Mm-hmm.
The minute this World Series ends, maybe tomorrow night, maybe in five, the minute this World Series ends, there's a homework project that we all have.
Which is?
To come up with our plans of attack for each of the local teams' offseason.
Mm.
Realistic plans. Because instead of saying, Mets need pitching. Okay, who? Instead of saying, the Yankees need to do ba-ba-ba. Who?
Mm.
So, Tiki, as you're bored watching tonight's baseball game, because you probably will be in the third inning.
Yeah.
I want you to do what you do best. Go down a rabbit hole and start analyzing free agents, trade targets, because come either Thursday or next week, we need to be prepared with our Mets and Yankees offseason plans. And that goes for the listeners as well. When you're bored watching mm-hmm. tonight's playoff game, a World Series game, I should say,
right.
Yankee fans, prepare your plan of attack. Mets fans, prepare your plan of attack. Because as soon as we get the offseason, we'll have a day in which we can all kind of compare notes on our plan of attack. Tiki, do you right. accept this mission?
Of course. That means that me, Tommy, Sean, I guess you probably have already done this.
I've already done it.
Yeah, of course you have. We have to do both teams.
Correct.
We yes. can't just do
yeah.
our team.
Yeah,
we
you got to be.
We have to do both teams.
You got to be IBOs.
All right, yeah.
And you can do it. I mean, it's more difficult, obviously, for Tommy and Sean, but you're a professional IBO.
Yeah.
So, Met plan, Yankee plan. That means Tommy, Yankee plan. And don't be a jerk.
Mm. Well, you can't set ground rules.
Right.
That's not fair. I could do whatever I want.
So, yeah, you're going to The question is, are we allowed to go to the extreme?
I think you got
to
stay.
Are we allowed to do the, I mean, trade Anthony Volpe, get XYZ, come back and do this?
It's got
to
be realistic.
Okay.
Realistic. The ground rules are
not
realistic.
Extreme. Not
right.
extreme.
So realistic. So we're doing a Brian Cashman offseason. Underwhelming. Got it.
Well, what you would suggest Brian Cashman do
well, okay,
under
but
the Hal Steinbrenner budget. Like, obviously, you can't expand the payroll to $800 million
because no,
that Hal and even Steve aren't going to do that.
Yeah.
So when I say realistic, I don't mean what we think David Stearns is going to do or what we think Brian Cashman is going to do. I mean, okay, this is what I think the budget is, within reason. These are the players I would target. Mm-hmm. I think that's fair.
So wiping out Volpe, though, then would be realistic because he has nothing to do a budget.
Because if I'm advising Brian Cashman, you know the first thing I'm saying to him?
Go ahead.
Is that you need to create an environment for Aaron Judge like Shohei Ohtani has with the Los Angeles Dodgers.
Have a super team around them?
At least steps closer to it.
Okay.
Because you don't. And this is the debate Sean and I were having about how much better Shohei Ohtani is. And it's not really about Shohei Ohtani being better, but he is. And it's not because statistics or home runs or batting average or any of that
stuff.
Well,
he does something no player in the history of baseball has ever done.
Okay, but it's
including
not even
Babe Ruth.
Okay, it's not even that. The pitching, which we'll find out tomorrow, tonight, is not even part of the conversation. He's going to win back-to-back-to-back MVPs. And if it wasn't for Judge beating him in 22, he'd have five in a row.
Right.
Think about that. Five in a row. He finished second to Judge in 22. And so Shohei Ohtani is special. But the reason I'm talking about him being better than Judge is that I look at great athletes in moments. It's not about what did you compile, right? Frank Gore is one of the greatest running backs in NFL history. Rushed for 16,000 yards.
Right.
Can you remember a great moment from his career?
Yeah, like some good games for the Jets,
okay,
I guess.
Some good games, but can you talk about a moment
he's a
where
compiler.
It was like, dude, in that moment, he rushed for 190 yards.
Right.
Like, can you think of one?
Not really.
Exactly. Shohei Ohtani is given moments, and he always excels.
Well, and that's not, I don't think that's true.
Did he not in game?
Well, like, hold on.
By the way,
Shohei Ohtani is a great, he is the best player in baseball. I remember Tommy and I had that argument, and what I always said, and I stand by every word, is once he pitches, he's the best player in baseball.
Right.
When he's just a DH,
right.
I think Judge is better. And by the way, I'll stand by that. I still, despite what he's doing right now, and it is amazing, pound for pound, the numbers back me up. Aaron Judge is a better offensive 100%. Player than Shohei Ohtani.
But when the moments have come for Aaron Judge, particularly in the postseason, they're forgettable.
Okay, you're right, but here's my counter to this. And maybe this is your overall point, so correct me if I'm wrong. Shohei Ohtani between last year's World Series and this year's Game 4 of the NLCS was 6 for 57.
Right, so he was...
He did nothing. So he got carried by everybody
else. First of all, last year's World Series, he was fully physically compromised.
That's not my problem.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't. It truly doesn't matter.
So we don't count that?
Of course you count it.
Okay.
But they won the World Series.
Despite him.
But they won the World Series.
Despite him.
You're missing my point. Because they won the World Series despite him.
Correct.
Could the Yankees win the World Series despite Aaron
That's
Judge?
That's where I agree
the
with
The answer
you.
Is no.
Okay. Well,
my first statement, forget the Shohei Ohtani stuff. My first statement was that Brian Cashman needs to put around Aaron Judge what Shohei Ohtani has with the LA Dodgers. Or at least a facsimile of it.
So,
something close to it.
So based
Not
on
something
that.
Where it's like, yeah, I don't know about this guy. I don't know about this guy either. I don't know about this prospect, super prospect Anthony Volpe at shortstop because he sucks and he's hurt. Like, I don't know about Jason Dominguez who doesn't play for the last month of the season. Like, that's not going to get you a World Series for Aaron Judge.
So based on
and
that
if you
plan,
have a great player, how it's a disservice not to do that for him.
So you know what
you
that
know
means?
What I, mean?
I do know what you mean, and that part I agree with, so I'll stick with that, because the Ohtani-Judge argument we'll have for months. Here's Tiki Barber's plan to make the Yankees the Dodgers. He give Judge the same grouping that Ohtani has. You ready?
Spend money.
They have to sign Pete Alonso to play first base.
Dude.
Kyle Tucker to play right field.
All about it.
Alex Bregman to play shortstop and eventually just move to third base. If Mookie Betts can play shortstop, Alex Bregman can. So here's the plan. Tucker, Alonso, Bregman, and Bellinger. If Cashman does all of that, then you're right. The Yankees are the Dodgers.
You know what the problem is?
They're not going to do even 70% of that?
Pitching.
I would disagree. I think the Yankee pitching is actually pretty stellar.
If everybody's healthy.
Well, isn't that the Dodger thing? The Dodger pitching wasn't healthy most of the season. They are fortunate that everyone is healthy now. Blake Snell missed time. Tyler Glasnow missed time. Shohei Ohtani missed time.
Right.
Even Yamamoto last year missed time. So, like, that argument about pitching, that was the biggest question the Dodgers faced. And for them, credit to them, everybody's healthy.
Starting pitching.
Well, their bullpen is, I mean, I know it was great yesterday, but it's a mess. I'm just saying, to make the Yankees what the Dodgers are, based on your point, which is a fair one, that's literally what they'd have to do.
Well, of course.
Does anyone think they're going to do half of that?
No. Well, why would you not?
Yeah. I'm not disagreeing with that part.
We're just having the Tucker or Bellinger argument. I would just get two guys.
You are right. But unfortunately, it's not realistic.
Okay,
so when you make your plan, it's got to be realistic.
So the realistic plan that sort of summarized the homework we got to do is going to be very unexciting.
Right.
They were pretty good.
No, I think if
you're not Aaron Boone.
I think that was Cashman, but close enough. That is, though they do, actually play that one more time. Was that Aaron
was
Boone?
That Boone?
Hold on, I got to.
Sounded like Boone to me.
They were pretty good.
Ah, it's Cashman.
Yes. But again, another problem. Yeah, they sound too much alike when they're mad. So, again,
they've
morphed into each other.
So, here's the assignment for everybody. As soon as the baseball season is officially over, which could happen tomorrow, it could happen on Friday night, it could happen on Saturday night, have your off-season plans ready. We've got a brand new edition of Posted and Toasted coming up. Let's right back to your phone calls. Evan and Tiki on the fan on a very, very busy Tuesday. We'll get back to calls in a minute, 888-808-1019. And thoughts on the NFL trade deadline, which is a week from today, exactly 1 week from today, we may see some moves, and we may see some moves involving the New York Jets and the New York Giants. But it is Tuesday at 3:30, which means it's time for another edition of the ever-popular game, Posted and Toasted.
It's time for Posted and Toasted.
I read the old tweets of some of our fellow FAN coworkers and see if Tiki can guess them. And these are very timely. Pulled some timely Posted and Toasteds. Are you ready?
I am.
April 17th, 2023. walk Freddie Freeman every single time. Signed, Mets fans. Is that person Greg Giannotti, Craig Carton, Evan Roberts, Tommy Lugauer, or Sal Licata?
Well, you said Craig Carton.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Football is fun. Why shouldn't your football podcast be the same?
Follow and listen to Heed the Call NFL podcast with Dan Hanzus and Mark Sessler wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, he was a Met fan at one point.
He was a fake Met fan.
So we're not counting him.
No.
So you're not, it's not him.
Tommy Lugauer.
It's bull.
Wow.
Nailed it.
How'd you nail that?
Nailed it.
Especially because earlier in the show, Tommy was one of the people introducing the idea of banning intentional walks.
That's why it's a swerve.
He figured me out.
Yes.
That's pretty good. So at some point, Tommy, you were for intentional walks.
Well, hold on a second.
You were against it.
That tweet is from Tommy the Met fan and Freddie Freeman constantly just ripping our hearts out. Mm. This is more of an IBO looking at it from a perspective of you're robbing a baseball fan by not seeing Ohtani with the bat in his hands in a World Series.
Are you less aggrieved because he's no longer a Brave?
What's the word you use there?
Aggrieved.
What
like
does that
angry
mean?
By it. Like
angry
it,
by
it frustrates you. Freddie Freeman.
No, I think Freddie
like
Freeman.
He hits a walk-off home run last night. It's just majestic. It's just gorgeous. Are you like, damn it, Freddie Freeman,
no,
I hate you.
I actually think Freddie Freeman is the most underrated.
Damn you to hell. He's damn you all
I
to
should
hell.
Do that. Planet of the Apes. I think he's the most underrated superstar of his generation. I really, he's so great, and he does not get talked about as great as he is.
He does it in the most critical moments. That's what makes him unbelievable.
I think everything you said, Tommy, ended last night at 3 a.m. because I think he was the most underappreciated superstar of our generation. But now, with multiple walk-off home runs in the World Series,
right.
And he's probably going to end up
the World Series MVP last year.
I know. This is just adding to it.
Right.
He's going to become a three-time world champion, twice with the Dodgers, multiple walk-off home runs. One's a grand slam. Like, I think that he's now no longer.
Right. Like, even in our fantasy league that we're always in, he kept getting put back in the pool. I'm like, this guy is great. Why is he not kept every year?
How about another Freddie Freeman tweet? This is from November 15th, 2021. Love Freeman, but given the abundance of other needs, the Yankees should hone in on Matt Olson as plan A and Anthony Rizzo as plan B at first base.
As Brandon Tierney.
I was wrong! How did you know that?
Because I remember working with him, and that's all he would talk about.
I was wrong.
The RZA.
That he preferred Matt Olson and Anthony Rizzo to Freddie Freeman?
The RZA.
Yeah, that's a bad L.
He loved RZA.
I was wrong. Did you agree with that take, Sean, back in the day?
Actually, I was worse. I don't even think I mentioned Olson. It was more about just sign Rizzo for 3 years instead of giving 7 years to Freeman. However, I was also operating under Brian Cashman's brain in that if you spent on Freeman, we were screwed everywhere else.
Interesting. Interesting.
Makes sense.
Hmm.
I mean, which is what, unfortunately, Yankee fans have gotten used
exactly.
to.
Exactly. So that's why every not-signed Freeman take needs to be taken with a grain of salt.
Fair enough. No, and by the way, Matt Olson's been a really good player. Is he Freddie Freeman? No. He would also have cost you a lot in terms of trade value. Probably Anthony Volpe's in that deal, which at the time you would have hated. Now you would have been like, great. That would have been the best trade ever. This one is from February 19th, 2021. Also timely because we know the Knicks are facing Giannis tonight. Mm. Let all the hate pour in. It's all fine. But if Giannis is your number one, you will never, ever win a title. Too deficient at vital aspects of the game.
Wow.
Giannis will never win a title. Is that Chris McMonagle, Keith McPherson, Brandon Tierney, or Tommy Lugauer?
That's Keith McPherson.
You're wrong.
Now, you were having a perfect day today.
I was.
He was on fire.
Now I have no idea.
Can I guess?
Go ahead.
The use of the word deficient screams Brandon Tierney.
Okay, and I was wrong. Next question.
Good job. Back-to-back BTs.
All right.
Solid call on that one, Sean.
Very good. And finally, April 26th, 2022. Mm-hmm. Now, what's that thing called? That thing that signals that something is greater than other. You know, like that little math symbol.
The greater symbol. Than? Greater than or equal to?
Greater. Like I'm holding my hands out like a Pac-Man
like
mouth.
Like a V.
Yeah, it's like a sideways V. What is that called?
It's called
the greater than sign.
Yes.
Okay. I just want to, it's in the tweets, I want to be able to use it correctly.
So wait, which way is it pointing?
The first name is going to be the greater than, okay? This is from April 26, 2022.
So the V is swallowing the first name?
Yes, which means that first name is better than the other names.
Yes, yes. Anthony, if it's the other way, it's less than.
Anthony Rizzo, better than Matt Olson and Freddie Freeman. Is that person Sal Licata, Keith McPherson, Chris McMonagle, or Sean Morash?
Hmm. Since Sean asked about it, I think it was Sean.
You're wrong.
Sean has been cleared.
Keith?
That's right.
Perplexing Pegasus we're riding.
Keith McPherson.
Perplexing Pegasus.
That was a good one. Yeah, a lot of Yankee fans clearly preferred Anthony Rizzo to Freddie Freeman. That's what we've learned from this whole discussion.
Can you do the greater than or equal to sign?
What do you mean, can you do it?
Like, can you type it? Is it in your phone?
Yes.
Yes. You have to go to the symbols.
The greater than or equal to is in your phone. 100%. I've never used that one.
Yeah, when you go to, like, the keyboard and then you flip it around a little bit.
Got it.
You could eventually find it.
Nice.
I think a part of why Keith, BT, Sean all preferred someone other than Freddie Freeman is that, to your point, to a variety of your point, you were brainwashed. Because I want to take you back to an interview with Brian Cashman done right here on WFAN.
About Freddie Freeman?
Yes, about Freddie Freeman. Oh. I was doing the show with Craig, and I asked point blank, Brian, did you make an offer to Freddie Freeman? And here's what Brian Cashman said.
Yeah, we never made an offer, an official offer, whether it was Correa or Freeman.
He confirmed no offer was ever made. And so I think the Yankee fan almost just accepted that they were never going after him, even if he was the perfect guy to go after.
He'd have been a great Yankee.
He would have been an amazing Yankee.
We might have won the World Series last year instead of losing it.
You might have? I mean, isn't that the easiest you would have you could ever find? Like, the concern about him is that he was 32. And so that was naturally the issue. Okay, he's 32 years old. Are the best years still ahead of him? And if you look at what he's done over his 4 years in L.A.
What was his contract? I mean, what did he end up getting?
6 years, 162. So he's got two more years left on this deal. And 6 years, 162 is what, about $22 million a year, something in that range?
Yeah, it's not egregious. It's not stupid.
No.
High.
It was the years. It was the fact that you were going to have him until he was 37 years old. But I think you looked at his career, and you probably felt, I'll get 4 good years out of him.
Yeah.
And look, there's still 2 more years left on that deal, but my God. Yeah, Sean, there's no maybe.
I mean, it already feels like it's paid for itself because of the World Series MVP last year.
Not even close.
And now it looks like he's going to make it feel like a cheap deal.
If we're being real, like looking back, we've all screamed and yelled about Machado and Bryce Harper. And all the Freddie Freeman is the biggest miss in terms of what the Yankees never did that they should have done.
They
in
never
Brian
even
Cashman's
gave
tenure.
An offer.
Yeah. Like all
so,
those
so
guys
that means they didn't want him.
They didn't want him based on, so I only cut that part of the Cashman interview, but I listened to other aspects. What he said was, we were in contact and knew what his agent was asking for. And they were just never comfortable going to that level. They weren't comfortable giving him a 6-year contract.
I can understand that.
You can understand it, but sometimes in life you got to take risks.
Yeah.
And when we talk about the Yankees not being the Dodgers,
well, you were just wrong. They were just wrong.
They were wrong because, and they weren't just the only ones because Sean was accepting it. Oh, we'll get Anthony Rizzo. We'll be okay. I mean, Anthony Rizzo isn't Freddie Freeman.
Right.
And what's amazing about Freddie Freeman, to the point made earlier, and I forget if it was you, Teague. I think it was actually you, Tommy, that he's become more of a Dodger than a Brave. Look, he spent 12 years in Atlanta. He won a World Series. It's going to almost be impossible for him to not be a Brave. But in the 4 years he's been with L.A., he's actually had better years than his best years in Atlanta. So he's put up monster numbers. He's about to win probably a second World Championship. He's already got one World Series MVP. He's had two epic moments. Like, it's unbelievable. He'll never be a Brave, but he's certainly cutting the lead in half, if you will.
It was actually Sean that said that, but I think the perfect comp is Kevin Durant. We're going to think of him as a Golden State Warrior, not as an Oklahoma City Thunder player.
Even though
he had great years there, he was on a super team in the NBA.
Because Freddie won his title with the Braves.
I mean, they made the NBA Finals.
They didn't win a title.
Okay, but they got close. You're not going to think of KD as a Warrior?
Well, that's different. I'm just saying I don't agree with the Freeman Durant.
But the reason why I bring that up as the comp is because Freddie Freeman is on a historic, you know, team with a lot of stars in LA, so that raises his profile.
But he's
much
clutch.
Like it did with Durant
with
Golden State.
He's clutch in these ridiculous ways.
So was KD with the Warriors.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like he was so long in OKC and he got close and then he left OKC to go right to the team that he couldn't beat.
Right, but I don't think Durant would have been the guy he is now if he didn't go to Golden State.
Ultimately, I feel like Durant belongs to nobody. He's a star without a home because he's been so many places and he's been good at most of them. Save for the Nets.
No, he was great with the Nets.
Except for one year.
No. The one thing about him is when he played,
right.
He was awesome.
Right. When he was, but
I got no bad things to say about him playing.
He's been everywhere.
Yes.
And so who actually owns him?
Nobody.
Right.
No, you're right about that. Probably, though, to Tommy's point, more so Golden State than anywhere because they did win with him, and he was a part of that dynastic team.
Yeah, but that was also Steph and Draymond's team.
I agree.
It makes it hard because of the Brave Championship. Like, the guy we're going to eventually have this conversation about is, if we're lucky enough, Soto being more of a Met than a National, despite the fact that he won there, if he won there. But when you think of Matthew Stafford, you think of him as a Lion or a Ram?
Probably eventually a Ram. Probably a Ram because right. He won a championship.
He won a championship.
You know what?
We accepted him as great as a Ram.
Yeah.
We kind of just... We knew he was really good as a Lion, but we never really accept him as one of the greats.
But isn't that Freddie Freeman?
I don't think there's a comp for Freddie Freeman. I don't think Durant works. No. I don't think Stafford works. I just don't think there is
they
one.
They won
yet.
A championship.
Yeah. I know.
He was also there for 12 years,
right.
And he's been in L.A. now for 4. We'll end up at 6. That is half the amount of time.
Mm.
That's what's going to make it so challenging.
Right.
But here's the point. The point is, if we can go back into a little bit of a time machine, the world would be very different if Brian Cashman did get Freddie Freeman the 6-year deal and sign him going into the 2022 season instead of bringing back Anthony Rizzo. Let's get back to your calls, 888-808-1019. Bill is in Rockland County. What's up, Bill?
Hey, how's it going, boys?
All's good. What's happening?
I've been trying to call for weeks now. Me and my wife, I've been a fan forever, and I just got my wife into you guys over the past 2 years. And now we talk about the two of you like you're our children.
We appreciate
this morning,
it, I think.
This morning, yeah, no, you will. It's all positive.
Good.
This morning, my wife wakes up and she finds out the game goes 18 innings, and she's like, oh, my God, Evan is going to be so tired.
I'm a baby.
I don't know how he's going to do the show.
That's awesome.
Well, I appreciate her worry. Here's the good news. Because I napped for like 45 minutes between innings 8 and like 11, I feel very refreshed today. To the point where I brought my scorebook in. I'm going to start getting my scorebook ready in the 4 o'clock hour. And I'm scoring tonight's game, and I'll be up until whenever this game ends. I don't care. This is classic sports. I don't want to miss it. Because I ended up being annoyed with myself that I didn't score the game last night. And what killed me was my sister texts me. And says, hey, did you stay up for the baseball game last night?
Oh, jeez.
And I give her the story, like, yeah, slept for about an hour. My wife woke me up. I saw the last 5 innings. And then she hit that follow-up, the follow-up of death. She said, did you score it? And it's like, I feel so empty that I didn't do it. And even
I'm a loser.
Even Tommy, didn't you say something like, this is the holy grail of scoring games?
It's the Mona Lisa of scoring games.
Yeah.
Base your entire life, essentially, on your career, that you score games. You're the score games guy. And then last night was the game to score, and you didn't.
I didn't do it.
Can we just have a real conversation here?
Of course.
And you're going to get mad at me. I know you're going to get mad at me. I think you should have prioritized the baseball game over your basketball team. I'm sorry.
It wasn't just the basketball team, because remember, the Nets play Wednesday, too. It was the basketball and the football. It was too much, so I figured I'll watch all of them.
Yeah.
I'll consume the game, too.
I guess.
Tonight is just the Knicks and a little bit of hockey.
Sure.
Tomorrow is just the Nets. So it wasn't, don't put this on the Nets.
I was just trying to find a way to get you some sleep, and that way you could have been up for the game scoring the game. You know what I mean?
All I know is this. Tonight is game number 4.
Mm-hmm.
I'm scoring it. Tomorrow's game number 5,
It'll be 10-0 snooze fest tonight. It's got rid of all over Otani, 10 strikeouts, 3 home runs.
And if it does,
in the third inning.
Well, you know what? It is what it is. All games are going to be great.
This could have been
we're going to demand to see the whole scorebook.
Yeah.
This game would have been in your new book, Sleeping with the Enemy.
No. So my new book, which I am working on.
Is that the name of it?
It's not Sleeping with the Enemy. It's Scoring with the Enemy.
Right. You hate the Dodgers. They're the enemy.
The plan right now, if this book does get the green light, which we're still working on, is it'll be Yankee games in the book. I am not going to include non-Yankee games. So you are incorrect, thankfully, this game would not have made the book. It's only going to be Yankee playoff games in the new book, hopefully coming out in the next 3 years, called Scoring with the Enemy.
3 years?
Well, I need time. I'm just going to pop it out next month?
Wow.
I got to write a whole freaking book again. I need time. I need to find the games. I got to pick the games. Sean's going to work with me.
It should take like a month tops.
A month?
I understand
you
the
have all the scorecards.
Yeah. Did you read My Man's Bible? It's a whole book.
I understand, but
I wrote thoughts.
Evan.
What?
Your book was like a highlights magazine. Half of it's pictures. The scorecard is the whole half of it.
That is not true.
The other half's a quick jot down on what happened. I mean, basically, you were one picture away from spot the banana inside the doctor's office.
You know what I just learned by this discussion? And it's okay. You never read my book.
Oh, it sits next to my downstairs bathroom. It gets read.
It can sit wherever you want to sit it. You never read my book.
I did.
Yeah?
I don't memorize the chapters.
Here we go.
Every other page is a picture of a scorecard.
Look,
how it starts. That's the point.
But that's the point. That's most of the book. It's not a picture book. It's a written book. How many words are in that book?
I understand his words, but it's a picture book.
There's an audio book I release. You know how long the audio book is?
I know you went to a little shop and he did it for 3 hours.
No, not bingo, three. Bingo. Not 3 hours. It's like 9.5 hours.
3 hours at a time.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, I'll let you know when this book gets published. I'm still working on it. We'll get back to your calls in a minute, 888-808-1019.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you looking for a pro football podcast that doesn't put you to sleep with spreadsheets or insult you with mindless hot takes? Football is fun. Why shouldn't your football podcast be the same?
Follow and listen to Heed the Call NFL podcast with Dan Hansis and Mark Sessler wherever you get your podcasts.